everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. We're doing Monday, the last week of July. It's Monday, July 27th, 2020. On the other side of the glass, acknowledging my buddy and engineer, producer John Couch. Together, we do welcome you to the program. We are trying our best here to bring folks together in Southern Arizona right here on the radio in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. Our Monday political face-off, sponsored by my friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. What a fine family-owned and operated business since 1985. I'm just so delighted to be included on this new e-commerce website, the newly designed website there, which contains the Bill Buckmaster collection of fine antique prints and maps. Check it out at moesgallery.com. There are some beautiful items there that would look great in your office setting. If you're doing Zoom these days and having a meeting, you might want one of these beautiful antique maps over your shoulders. So check it out. They're reasonably priced and very high quality. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. And again, moesgallery.com. Our team today, John Munger is here. John, a well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, and one-time Republican candidate for Arizona governor. Hi, John.
How you doing, Bill and Jeff?
And Jeff Rogers here, also a well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, how was your weekend?
Had a lovely weekend. Weather wasn't too hot. It was kind of moderate in a way, and was able to get out and do some horseback riding and enjoy myself.
I'm not a big baseball fan, even though Dad would take my brother and I to Wrigley Field. We'd get there early, sit in the front row of the bleacher. So I have wonderful memories of the Cubs. So I wanted to see what Fox was doing with the coverage on Saturday of this new no fans in the stands. And it was really kind of interesting. On some of the wide shots, they would put they'd have animation for the crowd.
I know.
The background. And there'd be like a little bit of a soundtrack. You know, there's a pop-up and the catcher makes the catch, and there'd be kind of a low rumbling of crowd noise. So they must have like gone through all these soundtracks, and they've got all these different combinations that they can plug in. But it's kind of neat just to sort of hear the players talking among themselves.
Yeah, I hadn't caught a baseball game yet this year. I hope to watch one this next week. But, I've been reading about that and about the piping in the sound and then the cardboard cutouts of the fans in the seats.
Do the players have mics so you can hear what they're saying?
Well, there's mics right around the dugout area, so you're hearing all sorts of stuff.
Oh, terrific.
And in that Cub game, they got a little too carried away, and a little fight broke out in the second inning because they were, one dugout was yelling at another. It kind of reminded me of some of my days in Little League, and when there was nobody in the stands and everybody's talking among themselves. But anyway, I actually enjoyed watching the game, and I hadn't really watched a baseball game in a long time. Okay, 99 days until the presidential election. Jeff and John, there's an interesting article in Atlantic, the Atlantic magazine, talking about, the title is, I just caught this on Facebook. Somebody had reposted it. Just came out. The piece is, "Don't Count Trump Out. Polling could be wrong. The economy could recover just enough, and he could announce his own October surprise." Jeff?
Well, I think right now it's Biden's to lose, because one of the things I look at very carefully in these polls is this right track, wrong direction question, and no sitting presidential candidate has won with anything like this 80% wrong direction for our country that we saw out of the Associated Press poll this weekend. Trump's overall performance in that Associated Press poll was 38%, and we're now seeing polling as late as Friday in Michigan, Biden up 49-40. Previously, it was 49-41.
Do they have Arizona in there?
They do. And Minnesota, Biden up 51-38. Pennsylvania, 50-39. The gold standard Quinnipiac poll in Florida showed Biden up 51-38. There's two polls in Arizona, a CNN one and an NBC one. The CNN one was yesterday, showed Biden up 49-45 and 50-45 in the NBC one from last week. The Real Clear Politics average of all of the polls is now at 50 to 40.9, so really 50 to 41. So, you know, Trump is in deep trouble with these polling. And now we're seeing also that Jody Ernst is in trouble in Iowa. Tillis is in trouble in North Carolina. McSally's down by 12. And even in the averages of the polls, she's down by 9 to 10. Collins is down in Maine by a large amount, as is Gardner in Colorado. And even Senator Peters in Michigan is way down in the polling there. So, you know, that's a total of 6 seats, and we only need 3 to take the Senate.
John, we're 99 days away. That's a long time.
That's a long time. Look, let's start out with this. All right. This time during the last election, Trump was down by 13 points to Hillary Clinton.
Was he really that
yes.
much?
And now he's only down by somewhere around 10, according to their polls. Now let's look at their polls. There are other polls out that they don't like to quote. There's a Rasmussen poll out. Rasmussen, I think, is the gold standard.
What are they saying?
They're saying it's a dead heat.
Really?
Absolute dead heat. I talked with one of Trump's people this weekend. In D.C., he says their internal polls are running very well. They're very happy with them. And they're ahead in states like Minnesota and Pennsylvania.
Did you detect any panic among them?
No.
When you were talking to this individual?
No, he was very confident. Then I heard today about this polling. And this guy in D.C. said, you know, these polls that are being run, they overpoll you can't see the internal statistics of who they poll, but if you get into the internal statistics, they always overpoll the Democrats, they overpoll the blacks. And so he was laughing at their polls. He said these polls, it would be like going to the Republican club and saying, who's for Trump? Well, they're all for Trump.
Do you think some conservatives are afraid to even answer some of these
polls? There's another poll out today that, because of the media coverage and the hatred of the liberal left, 77% of conservatives are afraid to tell anybody what their political view is. They're intimidated, which means that if a pollster calls them up, they don't want to talk about it. So I just think, realistically, Hillary was ahead far more than Biden is ahead, even by the Democratic polls, which I question. And number two, this thing really won't get going until September after Labor Day. We've got the debates to go through. This concept that Trump may not show up for the debates, that's not going to happen.
You have a different candidate, though. A Biden is not Hillary. Right. And Hillary did have a lot of negatives.
She had a lot of baggage.
A lot of negatives, too. I mean, Biden's senile.
Biden
has got a real problem with remembering where he is.
Yeah, you're right, Bill. Hillary had a lot of baggage, and there were a lot of things going on there. The sort of likability factor wasn't there for Hillary. I mean, you know,
that deplorables thing really
didn't go over well. And that and the likability is very important. I mean, you can go back just as recently as George W. Bush. You know, he was a very likable guy. I mean, let's face it. He was somebody that you didn't feel comfortable demonizing him. He wasn't a great president, but you know, you couldn't hardly demonize him because he was a well-meaning character, as was Reagan, as was Clinton, mm-hmm. and as our former president was. But the and as Joe Biden is. So it's hard to really take much out of Biden's likability factor. And I think that's what's going to protect him from slipping too far in the polls, because he's just such a likable guy. And the problem the president has is, and I've said this on here before, is we're reaching a point of really Trump exhaustion. I mean, people are just getting tired of waking up every day and saying, what crazy thing will he do or say today? And it's wearing us out. I think America is fairly wearing out. And I think that his utter failure with this coronavirus is something he cannot recover from. You know, barring some kind of shocking October surprise, which I can't even imagine something of this magnitude happening, I think this is our election to lose. And I was just reading about this polling in Florida, the one where the CNN says it's 51-46, right. Quinnipiac is 51-38. And there was an article about that, and it said that no Republican president has won the presidency without winning Florida since 1924, when Calvin Coolidge did. So, I mean, that's a pretty revealing fact. If we take Florida, it's all over.
All right, John, we're going to hold your comment because I want to hear what you think about the optics, too, about all of this with some of the violence that's been going on in our cities. There is, and that's where we will resume our conversation with Jeff Rogers and John Munger. It is our Monday Political Face-Off. Check out moesgallery.com. I'm really excited about the newly redesigned website. It's Moes Gallery and Fine Framing. Fort Lowell & Dodge, our longtime sponsor of our Monday Political Face-Off. We'll be right back in the Green Thing Zilcolo Village Studios.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Moes Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moes Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Of course, they can take care of all your framing needs, but we're all excited, all of us associated with Moe's, about the newly designed website. Check it out, moesgallery.com. They are all ready to go with e-commerce, and I think it's going to do very well for them. Jeff Rogers is here, and John Munger. John, we're going to pick it up with you. The optics of so-called disorder in the streets, that has to help Trump, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, hugely. I love seeing it on TV, just from a political point of view. I'm sorry it's happening, but, you know, the this whole defund the police movement from the left just turns people off. The polls are heavily against defunding the police, especially with these riots in Portland. I mean, it's been going on for 60 days. These are just thugs out there. They're blinding federal agents and injuring people and hurting people badly, and the Dem leadership won't do anything about it. And that's helping Trump. It's scaring the hell out of people. People are concerned about their safety. Trump moving in with this Operation Legend to assist the some of these Democratic big cities over their objections in many cases, trying to help solve the gang crimes. And your listeners need to understand there's a difference between what's happening in Portland, which is merely defending federal buildings. That's the reason the feds are there, is they're simply defending federal buildings from these rioters, whereas this Operation Legend is a administration effort to cooperate with local police to solve gang problems. Totally different issues. He's moving in has federal agents moving into these cities that are run by Democrats that are just going crazy. And everybody knows that every Democratic-run city is a mess.
Well, one thing that is different with this, these Democrats did not request the federal aid.
Exactly, and this is a double-edged sword. You know, Trump may think this is gaining him points, but, you know, it's also looking like he's sending in federal stormtroopers to take over cities, and that's a pretty bad optic for people. I mean, can you remember back in 2015 when Louie Gohmert of Texas was all up in arms about Obama running some kind of gaming strategy for the military to practice in Texas, and they latched onto that as the federal government coming in to take control of Texas, and so these are the kinds of things that if the hand were if it was a Democratic president doing the same stuff, Republicans would be jumping up and down in the streets. So
yeah, but
you know,
Jeff,
the fact of it is that he's antagonizing this and making a problematic situation much worse. These people are coming in, they don't even have identification on them. You don't know what agency they're coming from. They're wearing military style gear, which is absolutely inappropriate for local law enforcement activity. This is something that is really problematic, and it might quite possibly be unconstitutional when they get beyond protecting the federal facilities. That they're certainly entitled to do, and I would encourage them to do that. But then when they go out and unmarked vehicles and start kidnapping people and putting and taking them away for no good reason, and then releasing them when they demand to talk
where
to a lawyer.
Where do they take them?
No.
Well, we're not sure where they're all getting taken. They're
all
not,
these
they're
facts,
not able
these
to
facts
identify
are just
what
not
it is.
True. Let me finish.
It is true, John.
No,
it's
it
absolutely
isn't.
Positively true.
No,
this
it
is
isn't.
A very
Jeff,
troubling
if
development.
Quit talking, I'll tell
this
you
is
what
a very
the facts
troubling
are.
Development.
What are the facts,
John,
as you see
that
them.
The only people wearing military uniforms are the federal police in Portland who are trying to stop the invasion of the federal courthouse by these rioters. The other people coming in through Operation Legend to cooperate with city police in solving gang crimes are coming in. They are wearing regular uniforms. They are not coming in as stormtroopers. They're working cooperatively with the police to solve the cold cases. There's like 50% of the gang crimes in these cities like Chicago and Kansas City, all Democratic-run cities, 50% of these cold cases have never been solved by gang members, and they're trying to shut down the crime. Now, this concept that people don't have uniforms on it in solving gang problems, people, we have undercover police all the time, and they go out and arrest people.
They don't wear military outfits. Taking away people on the night?
Well, you take them to jail.
Okay.
These are criminals that you're going in cooperation with the local police, and you put these people in prison, these gang members who are killing. They killed a three-year-old.
That's not what's happening in Portland, John. These aren't gang members.
Portland is different, Jeff, and that's what you don't understand.
And it shouldn't be going on. They shouldn't be doing this.
They shouldn't defend the federal building.
Oh,
absolutely. They have every right and responsibility to protect the federal buildings.
So,
but they shouldn't go beyond the scope of that and go out into the streets in unmarked vehicles and pick people up with a military uniform on that doesn't identify the agency you work for.
It is a federal crime, Jeff, to put graffiti on federal buildings, to throw Molotov cocktails at federal buildings, to firebomb the federal buildings. It's a federal crime.
Of course it is.
It's a 10-year
But protesting is not a federal crime.
These are protesters getting picked up.
No,
they aren't,
wrong.
Jeff.
Yes,
all
they
you
are.
Need
Some
to
of
do...
them are even members of the press.
No, Jeff, you need to watch what's going on. I realize your liberal stations like CNN don't even show what's going on in Portland. But Portland, these people have for 60 days been trying to firebomb the federal building.
And what is the goal? What are they trying to accomplish?
They are leftists. They are leftist thugs trying to face down the police.
99% of the activity in Portland over the last 60 days has been peaceful.
But that's not what we're talking about, Jeff. We're talking about federal agents coming in and trying to control the streets. You're conflating the peaceful protests versus protecting the federal building in Portland, which is all the federal officers are doing.
What is the goal of the protests
in
Portland?
You know, it isn't protests.
Well, let's let Jeff see, it's thugs trying to burn down
the federal building.
These have been peaceful Black Lives Matter protests going on
for 60 days. Some of them, but not those.
A few of them have gotten out of hand, but not very often until Trump sent in his stormtroopers to basically try to establish his own order in order to create a fake situation that he could say, I'm your law and order president. They came in and tried to firebomb
the federal building before the federal officers came in. And the federal officers came in only because they were trying to take over, invade the federal building, and they can't do that. It's against federal law.
And if they stayed in the federal building or the perimeters of that, that would be all well and
good. You're saying
that
they expanded.
They expanded way beyond that, and they're out bothering peaceful protesters and taking them into custody. That's wrong.
I'm sorry. If you have to go out in the street to defend the federal building, you have to go out in the street to defend the federal building.
Some of these other areas, you mentioned Chicago. The mayor of Chicago has said that they are not needed or wanted there.
No.
Mayor of Philadelphia said they'll basically arrest these agents.
Let's be clear.
Chicago.
In Chicago, we're dealing with Operation Legend, which is to shut down the gangs. That's totally different than what's going on in Portland, which is burning down a federal building.
Well, I wanted to transition to Chicago.
And going to Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, has agreed that the federal officers can come in and work with the local police. And that is happening with her agreement. And it's happening in Kansas City with their agreement. And it's going to happen in Albuquerque with their agreement. There is no invasion by the federal officers. It is being done in conjunction with, working with, the local police officers. And they are trying to solve these unsolved crimes that are gang crimes. Gangs are killing
I was curious about Albuquerque. Is that a gang situation?
Yes, it's terrible gang situation.
Okay. No, it's not. And the Albuquerque mayor doesn't want any assistance from the federal government. The Chicago mayor has said, we welcome some assistance if it's done, you know, in concert.
Sure. So they're doing it in concert together.
And that's the way it always has been done before and the way it should be
done. And it is being done that way.
But that's not what's happening in Portland. And we're concerned.
Portland is
we're concerned that this president will do the same kind of thing.
You're conflating the two. Portland is different. We're defending a federal building
we're going round and round on Portland. I know you guys disagree about it, but what about, how does this translate, John, at the polls?
It scares the American people to death to see these crime rates in these Democratic cities that are out of control, and the Democratic mayors won't do anything about it. They've put handcuffs on the police. Look at what's happening in New York City. We've turned the nation's most peaceful, safe city into a war zone. And that's happened long since in Chicago. It's been happening in Kansas City and some of these other cities. And the American public is fed up with it. And they are glad that Trump is offering federal help with local police with the agreements of the mayors.
Does a law and order candidate carry any weight, Jeff Rogers?
I don't think it does. I don't think this issue is going to help Trump.
I mean, we've seen it before.
We've seen it before a long time ago.
Right.
I don't think it's gaining traction. I don't think it's gaining traction with voters, and that's why we're seeing his horrible polling numbers.
I think right now Americans are concerned, number one,
with the coronavirus, number two, with the economy. And crime in the streets is way low on the list of voters' concerns right now.
I agree that coronavirus is more important on people's lists, but crime in the streets is still huge. And a lot of people, when we get into the debates, Trump will be reminding Biden and reminding the American public that Biden didn't even want to cut off the Chinese from coming into the country.
Gotta go, John Munger. Thank you, John. Good to see you. And Jeff Rogers. Thanks, Jeff. Gentlemen, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Check out their newly redesigned website, doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back.
CBS News Special Report. The body of the late Congressman John Lewis has arrived at the U.S. Capitol, where it now lies in state. A video of Lewis played during a remembrance with his colleagues.
I saw those signs that said white men, white women, colored waiting. I would come home and ask my mother, my father, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, why? They would say, that's the way it is. Don't get in the way. Don't get in trouble.
CBS's Steve Dorsey is at the U.S. Capitol.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell spoke about Lewis's relentless mission as a peacemaker. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi described Lewis as a congressman loved and revered by both sides of the aisle and both sides of the Capitol. Later, Vice President Mike Pence and the Second Lady will visit Lewis's casket, but the president says he will not.
No, I won't be going. No.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Matt Piper.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back. Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green things for all of your plant needs. We're finally, I hope, going to get some rain, some more. We've been lucky up at our place. I think we've had three rains in maybe the last 2 weeks. So the plants love it, but the plants need some more. And if you need some plants for your garden, there's nowhere to go but Green Things. 50 years and still growing. At 3384 East River Road. Their website is greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Let's welcome now one of our two dozen contributors on a regular or semi-regular basis who join us. Bill Doley is our contributor on archaeology. Bill is president and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, a nonprofit organization based right here in Tucson. Bill, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. I'm looking forward to rain as well, but how about no lightning until after our interview's over?
alluding back to all the big changes that have happened since our attempt to talk with you in February, when we had a little bit of a problem with our phone system here at the station, and it shut down upon hearing your voice, but I think we're good to go so far.
Okay.
Being a nonprofit, oh my goodness, this is a difficult time for profit and especially nonprofits. How are you navigating the world of the pandemic?
Well, you know, we're, as a nonprofit, we're used to being a little bit agile and flexible in our approach to the world. And we've managed to keep all of our folks working. All but two of our 24 employees are working at home. Fortunately, we've all had adapted laptops, which go home pretty easily. So we're getting things done, and we're even keeping in touch with our donors in many ways, and they're continuing to support us. So I don't know, this is a time where there is a good deal of coming together of community. So we appreciate that about the people and mission that we are committed to implementing. So we're doing well, actually.
Bill, what's going on with the border wall? The border wall construction has really been devastating in many areas along the border.
It is, and I mean, I always like to underscore that, you know, we in this greater Tucson area live in the traditional lands of the Akimel or River Autumn and Sahana Autumn or desert people. And the folks to the west of us, the Tahana Autumn, the border cuts right through their traditional lands. And they've got people today living on both sides of the border. They've got sacred places that literally are right on that borderline. So it's been frustrating. There's all the environmental laws have been waived for the border construction project. And there are things happening out on that landscape that are pretty damaging to the environment as well as to Tahna Autumn cultural values.
There's a special place at the Organ Pipe Cactus National Monument that is really being threatened, correct?
Yeah, the Quito Baquito Springs. There's an endangered pupfish out there. It's been a long-term oasis. The autumn people have had a salt pilgrimage trailed over to the Rocky Point area that, you know, goes back millennia. And it was a desert watering place for a long time. And they're, you know, they've claimed that there are sort of setbacks from drilling groundwater to make all the concrete that is going into the border wall. But the spring is suffering. It's been a dry recent time, and there's not a crystal clear explanation as to the cause. But that area, the water is low. It does not seem to be a healthy place right now.
Well, there is some good news, though, on this national monument expansion of the Casa Grande ruins.
Yeah. While the border wall is going through, you know, sacred burial areas, our politicians in Washington, D.C. have actually managed to come up with our representatives from Arizona have come up with a bipartisan bill to take Casa Grande Ruins National Monument, which is up on the Gila River right near Coolidge, Arizona, and expand that national monument. So all but one of our representatives in the House here in Arizona are bipartisan support as co-sponsors of the bill, and our two senators, McSally and Sinema, got together and introduced in the Senate the same bill. So, yeah, a little over about 2 weeks ago, the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer up at Gila River Indian Community did a remote testimony for a congressional committee. So you only get about 5 minutes and then answer some questions. So it was something that he didn't have to fly back to Washington, and it hopefully will move this legislation forward with that. Again, the folks there in Coolidge are supporting it. All of the tribes in the region are supporting it. And definitely the archaeological community is in strong support.
How do you do field work remotely, Bill Doley? And, of course, that's such an important part of what you do at Archaeology Southwest.
Well, I say in terms of our major adaptation at Archaeology Southwest is that we now live in Zoom.
But Zoom world.
Yes. I mean, that is keeping us together, communicating, you know, internally with our staff and keeping our, you know, connections to the various clients and folks that we work with. But fieldwork just doesn't quite work that way. So we had to actually cancel our archaeological field school, which we normally do starting in late May through the 4th of July. So that was something that we had to sadly say to students that we'd accepted for the field school that we'll invite you back in summer of 2021, but we just, there's no way that we can do this. So we're using Zoom to do what we call an unfield school. and so a lot of the folks that come either are our staff or they would be visiting the field school and giving a talk and getting to know the students are doing little online presentations or blog posts and that sort of thing. So we're, you come up with alternate strategies. And we did have the really good fortune of the National Endowment for the Humanities had a coronavirus funding that they put out a special grant announcement and opportunity. So it was May, we finished our field work. We actually did, we were so remote out on, you know, downstream from Gila Bend doing field work out there, recording petroglyphs and camping and that we continued that field work through the March, April, and into early in May time.
Gonna have to run.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and you were able to get a grant then?
We got a grant, and we're keeping our field workers now employed doing the work in the office. So there are ways to keep things going.
Where can people find out more about your organization, of which I'm a member? Go ahead, Bill.
Well, it's archaeologysouthwest.org, so www.archaeologysouthwest.org, and lots of opportunities there for blog posts, information, and we'd love to hear from you.
And you've got a really good magazine.
Yes. And the next one's on the Casa Grande. It will be out in 2 weeks.
All right. I'll be looking for it. Okay. Bill Doley, it's a pleasure to reconnect with you. Thank you.
Very much so. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Bill Doley, President and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, a nonprofit based here in Tucson. Up next, Dr. Mark Sykes, who also runs a very successful nonprofit. And we will talk with Dr. Sykes coming up from the Planetary Science Institute right after this.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You can start your planning on their website, southwestnewmexico.org, where you'll find great opportunities for things to do and places to stay, southwestnewmexico.org. Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute for more than, well, now it's nearly 50 years, has been a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Mark joining us on the live line. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Bill. Good to be here.
Right about now, a trip to Mars would be really welcome. It would look really good right now. Too bad I couldn't hitch a ride with the United Arab Emirates successfully launching a Mars mission. I had no idea, Mark Sykes, that UAE even had a space program.
Yeah, they've been having the works for a while. They've been working with scientists over here at up in Colorado at the University of Colorado last, and putting the spacecraft together, and they just launched it from Japan. But everybody's going to Mars, you know, this month, Bill. You know, there's UAE. China has launched their mission, which is incredibly ambitious. It's they're for the first time putting in an orbiter and a lander with a rover on it. You know, when we've done this, we've either put things straight down onto the surface or put things in orbit, not both. And then the United States will be launching its Mars exploration, or I'm sorry, its Mars 2020 spacecraft this Thursday. The 3-week window opens up, and everybody also gets there in February of 2021. So it'll be crowded. And the cool thing about our mission is that it's got a helicopter on it. A little, it's like 15 inches tall. It's about 4 pounds in weight. The rotor span, two kind of rotating rotors that are about 4 feet wide. And it will be operating at the equivalent of over 100,000 feet on Earth, because Mars' atmosphere is about 1% the atmosphere at the ocean on Earth.
Really? They can go up to 100,000 feet with a little helicopter?
Well, the world record is like 42,500 feet, but that was with a person in the cockpit. A French gentleman back in 2003 left the Cape Town, South Africa airport and went up a long ways. And this doesn't have any people in it. It's just a little guy, and so they can push it a bit. And they're already starting at a high altitude, which is the surface of Mars.
So China has a robust plan for Mars. Is that true?
I think they have a robust plan for everything right now, Bill. They've certainly been incredibly successful with their lunar exploration program, sending orbiters and then two landers, one on the far side of the moon, which we haven't accessed ourselves yet. That was communicating with the Earth through a sub-satellite. They plan to send people to the moon, sometime in the next decade. So they're building kind of an independent program, and now they're off to Mars. They were supposed to go to Mars a number of years ago, hitching a ride with the Russian Phobos Grunt mission, which with an orbiter mission, but unfortunately that rocket didn't quite get up to snuff, and both the Russian and the Chinese spacecraft were left in Earth orbit, not going anywhere. And I have to say they were incredibly gracious about the whole thing. So, but now they're on their own, on their way. And after watching what they did with, particularly with Chang'e 3 and the last one, the far side of the moon, landing on the surface of the moon, I think they have a good chance of success.
How is the race going to put a human on Mars?
Well, you know, putting a human on Mars is about $1 trillion proposition.
What kind of a? It's a $1 trillion proposition.
It's a $1 trillion proposition, and if we're going to spend $1 trillion to go and just put a flag on the surface and come back and smoke a cigarette, I kind of question that kind of goal. Now, if we're going to Mars, you know, to stay, well, that might be, you know, something else again. But there's no plans for anything like that, except for Elon Musk. He wants to put like a, you know, a lot of people on Mars all at once, but that's not a totally thought through program either. So I think putting a human on Mars remains in from a practical standpoint, remains in the realm of science fiction, you know, for now. And we'll see if we can get back to the surface of the moon. And if we do go back, hopefully it won't be just to plant another flag and return. And right now, that's all NASA's really, truly committing itself to.
Is the moon mission, that's the big commitment right now then?
Yes, the Artemis program. And and we'll see that's supposedly to put the, I don't know what the date now. I'm thinking it's 2024 or so, but a lot of the components of the spacecraft to get there haven't been designed yet, much less built or tested. So whether something's going to happen within 4 years, I think it may take longer.
Watched an interesting sci-fi movie last night called Moon. It came out in 2012, and it was kind of an interesting concept, this movie called Moon, about mining of resources on the moon. That's not so far-fetched, is it, Mark Sykes?
Well, it's far-fetched to the extent that these are resources that would be of value on the Earth. Now, if we want to go up and start expanding human presence in space, then resources on the moon, resources on near-Earth asteroids, I think would be essential to make that effort self-sustainable. You know, because it's $10,000 a pound to take stuff up from the surface of the Earth, just to low Earth orbit. So that would be a value. Now, people talk about helium-3 for fusion reactors, but we don't have fusion reactors, and it would scrape a significant portion of the surface of the moon, too. So the most valuable thing, going back to an older movie called, I think, Ice Pirates, the most valuable substance in the universe is water. And so water is something we could get actually from near-Earth asteroids probably easier than we could get from the surface of the moon. Mm. You know, there's supposed to be these areas up in the permanently shadowed craters at the poles, which is the target for the Artemis program. But how much is actually there? That's a whole other question. We need to do some homework to figure that out first.
Yeah, well, this movie was talking about that fusion, this movie called Moon, talking about fusion energy. But you're saying that we'd have to scrape pretty much the whole surface of the moon.
We would have to scrape a good chunk of it, and we'd have to figure out how to do fusion, which it's been 20 years away since the 60s.
Yeah. Okay.
As you remember as well.
I do remember. All right. Highly entertaining movie, though. I do recommend it, called Moon. Yeah. All right. Mark Sykes, hang in there. And I know it's difficult times, but you're making the best of it.
Well, we're doing fine.
All right. Mark, thank you. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill.
People can find out more about Mark Sykes and the work that is going on over at the Planetary Science Institute, psi.edu is the website for more information. I'm also a member of that organization and highly recommend it. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show today, our Monday edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Thanks to John Couch, engineering and producing our program today. Coming up tomorrow, we've got some interesting information for you from our certified public accountant, Michael C. Flowers. Everybody's talking about stimulus money coming in. Well, what are the tax implications of that stimulus money? We'll talk with Michael about that. Also, our Tucson tourism update. Coming up next, Dave Ramsey, his popular show on money. Have a great afternoon, everybody.